Now in chapter 23, we do have a ray of hope. What is the popular song, "Every Cloud Has a Silver Lining"? Well, this cloud, dark cloud, has a silver lining because it never got so dark but what the prophet didn't see down into the future. Now in chapter 23, after this harshest judgment that's in the Bible against Coniah, then the sun breaks through. Now he opens chapter 23, though, with this: "Woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord." And the pastors here are not preachers. He'll speak about the religious rulers later on. But here, the pastors are the kings, the politicians, the people that are ruling, the ones that are making the laws, those that are at the top. And God says, woe to them. Now, he says, "Therefore, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, against the pastors that feed my people, ye have scattered my flock, you've driven them away, and have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doing, saith the Lord." And God says he's going to judge them. And he did in that day. Now the sun breaks through. It never got so dark, but what the prophet didn't look down to the end of the tunnel. And he saw the light. Verse 3 of chapter 23 of Jeremiah. "And I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all countries whither I've driven them, and I will bring them again to their folds, and they shall be fruitful and increase. And I will set up shepherds over them which shall feed them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall they be lacking, saith the Lord." God says, the day is coming that I intend to take over, and when I do, then you'll see the poor taken care of, and you're going to see an altogether different type of government than we have in the world today. Verse 5, "Now behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I'll raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth." Now there's a king coming in David's line, but this king, Jeconiah, and all of this line, although they be in David's line, they are rejected and cut off. But you can't destroy God's purpose. You may think you can, but God will bring through another line, the line of Nathan, another son of David. And through that line, there will come a peasant by the name of Mary, a peasant girl up in Nazareth, and she's going to bear the Messiah. She's going to bear the king, if you please. And when he presented himself to the world, he says, "Behold, the kingdom of heaven is at hand," and you can't have a kingdom without the king. What he said, the king is here. And they rejected the king. But my friend, he has the last word. He rejected them, and he said, the king's coming back someday. And he's going to set up that kingdom. Verse 6, "In his days, Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely, and this is his name whereby he shall be called, the Lord our righteousness." May I say to you, have you ever heard of that being a plank in some political campaign, that the man's righteous and he's going to act righteous? I haven't found that yet. They make every other claim except they're going to be righteous and they're going to follow God's plan and God's program for a government. They don't dare say that today. Verse 7, "Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord. They shall no more say, the Lord liveth, which brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, but the Lord liveth, which brought up, which led the seed of the house of Israel out of the north country and from all countries whither I had driven them, and they shall dwell in their own land." Now, this is one of the most remarkable prophecies in the Word of God. The oldest religious holiday that there is today is Passover, a Jewish Passover. And regardless of what type of Israelite the man might be, could be Reformed or Orthodox, wouldn't make any difference. They remember the Passover, the deliverance out of Egypt, that goes back. God says the day is coming when I bring them back into that land, which I shall do, that they'll forget the deliverance out of Egypt, and they will remember this new thing that I intend to do. It'll so far surpass the deliverance out of the land of Egypt. This is tremendous, my friend. And you either believe this or you don't believe it. God's not through with the nation Israel. Now, verse 17, they say still unto them that despise me, the Lord hath said, ye shall have peace. And they say, every one that walketh after the imagination of his own heart, no evil shall come upon you. And these dreamers today are talking about they're going to bring in world peace. And all of them are talking along that line. God says you won't do it. You can't do it. God says, as we saw in Isaiah, there is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. Our problem is not the fact that you can't make peace and that people don't want peace. The trouble is that the heart of man is desperately wicked. Who can know it? We don't know how bad we really are. And wicked men in power today cannot bring peace on this earth. And if they can, they'll contradict God's word. Verse 21, he turns now to the religious rulers. He said you can't trust today the political rulers. They can't bring in this peace. They ignore the poor. And in verse 21, I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. And God says, now this bunch of prophets, and the land was filled with them in that day. God says, I didn't send them. They're not giving my message at all. God rejected both the political rulers and the religious rulers. And I think that he'd do the same thing today in this world, all over the world. Because who's seeking for God today, even among the religious rulers of the world? They're out for religion. Oh, they're religion up to their eyebrows. And this pious as a poison puppy. But they just don't happen to be seeking after the living and true God. Now God says here in verse 30, therefore, behold, I'm against the prophets, saith the Lord, that steal my words, every one from his neighbor. And today, the liberal is casting reflection on the word of God, says it's not the word of God, stealing out of the hearts of people. I'd hate to be a godless college professor or a godless preacher today who is wrecking the faith of believers. God says, here, I'm going to do something about it someday. And God's in no hurry. And don't let that deceive you, because judgment against an evil work is not executed speedily. It's in the heart of the sons of men to do evil. They think they're getting by with it. God says, I got eternity ahead of me, and I happen to be running the show anyway. And the time will come when I'll handle it. Now, we have here in chapter 24 the sign of the figs here. Good figs, bad figs. God makes the distinction between good and evil, and he does it here. And he says that it just happens to be, I intend to send these people into captivity because these are bad figs. That is God's judgment and his estimation.